Hello, hello, hello. A watchman keeps a watch on the church and the war that wages against the saints. And I want to talk to all the watchmen out there, whether you're a watchman in your family, business, whatever, the church. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't grow weary in this hour. A lot of people are getting tired of proclaiming truth, but we have to endure until the end. Now, when a watchman discerns something, he believes that you ought to know, it's his assignment to bring it to their attention. So it's not a matter of, oh, I want good mail. I'm a postman and I'm only going to deliver you happy messages. As a messenger of the Lord, we preach whatever the Lord tells us to preach.
That's right.
Some like it, some don't. Yep. But they didn't like his preaching either. Guess you're in good company. But the Bible says in Proverbs 22:3, a prudent man, a wise man, foresees evil. And what does he do? He hides himself. He's like, no, I'm not going to go along with that. He hides himself. But the simple pass on. The simple believe everything they're told and they're punished, usually with the plagues of the world, what we're seeing now. But warning isn't a pleasant job, as many Christians do not want to know about the wickedness of the enemy and his hatred of Christ and his followers. But we need to be Bible believers for these end times so that we have hope and strength as these plans and agendas unfold. And the war has intensified against the church. And sadly, many people are blinded to it because they're just hooked into celebrity preachers. And whatever they say, they believe and they do, and they don't realize little by little it's turned into a self-help message. It's all positivity, and it's really very little, if any, to do with Christ. They might say Jesus, but it's not the gospel. It's another gospel. It's another Jesus, another spirit. So he continues to be a deceiver to this day, the enemy. A lot of people don't realize he's still deceiving. They think, oh, we're authority. We have the authority over him. He's under our feet. Well, ultimately, he's under Christ's feet, but we're still in a battle for souls. Of where people want to spend eternity, so we keep doing what we need to do. Now, the Hebrew word for deceiver is N-A-S-H-A. It means to lead astray. Satan has tried to lead people astray since the Garden of Eden, and he continues to this day to lead people astray. He's the counterfeiter, and we're going to talk about the counterfeiter and the imitator, the difference between the wheat and the tares, and what is a tare, and how it's so important to know what the tares are in the end time. So we're going to look at that, hopefully give you some insight into seeing that there's tares all around us, and we need to know what the tares are. And I'm going to give you some characteristics of tares, counterfeiters, people that are not telling you the truth. But the enemy is a counterfeiter. And what does that mean? He counterfeits everything. He counterfeits, he even counterfeits synagogues. He says in Revelations, he's the synagogue of Satan. So he has his own synagogues. Isn't that interesting? So Christ has his and the devil has his. So how do you know the difference? How do you know if you've been deceived or if you're listening to the counterfeiter? Well, many of us haven't come out of it. So I try at the end of my days here to proclaim coming out, because I was in the midst of many of these famous preachers right now you'll see on TV. And I was like, Lord, how did you spare me from this? But he did. He opened my eyes. So what is an imitator with the intent to deceive? Now, these tares that we're going to talk about, they're not somebody that just fell and sinned. We've all sinned. We've all missed it. None of us can say, we haven't made a lot of mistakes. But the key is our heart was not to be a deceiver and not to hurt people, but to really discover what truth really is. And along that way, we got deceived and caught up in a lot of movements. The New Apostolic Reformation, which is, they all say they're not, but they're all apostles and prophets. And they promise you a word for today. So what happens? You get away from God's word and you start looking to these men for words. And it's been very subtle. So his whole goal as a counterfeiter, it's an imitation. You know, when something's an imitation, it's not the real, it's not the genuine. It's an imitation to be passed off as genuine. Right. In other words, it's a false copy.
Yep.
One who pretends to be what he or she is not. And that's what Jesus' battle was when he was on the earth, and ours is today, confronting the Pharisees, confronting the Sadducees that acted like they had it all together. But underneath, he called them snakes, and the interesting snakes, vipers, all sorts of names. He wasn't real friendly there. But he pretended, the counterfeiter pretend to be something that they're not. Imposters, a cheat, a hypocrite. And that's what Jesus called them out. He said, you're hypocrites. You're of the Father, the devil. So we're talking about tares. The Father is the devil. And we have to know there are two bloodlines. There's the bloodline of Christ, and then there's a bloodline of the Antichrist. And bloodlines are very important.
Yes.
And a lot of these cults are bloodline families. So they pass the false as true. To pretend. Mixed with dross, not genuine. But they're reprobate. Counterfeiter is a tare. So we're going to look at tares. Let's look at Matthew 13. And just think about it. Tares represent poison. Matthew 13, let's start at 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But when men slept, interesting, when people fall asleep, the enemy came, and he sowed what? Tares. Where did he sow it? Among the wheat. And went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeareth the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then has it tares? And he said unto them, who? An enemy has done this. Remember, we still have an enemy today. Till we take our last breath, we're in a spiritual battle. An enemy has done this. So God wants us to know who the enemy is, right? How will you know what a tare is and how to resist it and discern it if you think everything's just glorious and everything's wheat? So the servant said unto him, will thou then that we should go and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. I'm glad God didn't come yet, because I've had a lot of repenting to do in some of these movements that we were all in. Glad he saw our heart. And there's a lot of good people that are deceived today. God does see their heart. But he says, you can't root them up because you're going to take the wheat with them. Let them both, what are they supposed to do?
Grow together.
Are we seeing that today? Growing together until the harvest, and the time of the harvest, he's gonna deal with everything. So the tares here represent a strong poison. It looks like wheat until the ears appear. It's weeds found in grain. It's poisonous if infected with mold. If actually the mold gets on some of this stuff, it can actually be poisonous, very damaging to people. Spiritually, if you get a hold of some tare teaching, that's a new one, tare teachings, it's poisonous. It's all about self and me and what I'm going to do and what I get blessed with and my dreams and my goals, and it's all about me. It's very poisonous. It might not appear to be, but when the fruit starts showing that there's no love, there's no real true Christianity, people aren't getting people saved, you can start seeing it's poisonous with mold. Tares represent false believers. False prophets. There is so much on false prophets. I've done a lot of teaching on false prophets. Yes. Hidden reefs in your love feast, Jude 1:12. Hidden reefs in, not away, in your love feasts, right among us. This weed looks like wheat until it matures and bears fruit. And in the end, it's bitter. The tares are bitter. You can choke. And it can be very poisonous. Tares overtake or smother the wheat. Who's done this? An enemy has done this. They blossom into false leaders or deceivers. We're going to look at Ananias and Sapphira, and we're going to see tares in a whole different light. A lot of people say, I don't understand this. Why was God so hard on Ananias and Sapphira? Because they were tares. And they were tares, and he was setting up everything with the apostles and everything, and he had to get rid of the tares. Now, we're not to get rid of those tares as far as what he did, but he took care of them, and guess what? He'll take care of them in the end, too. So he took care of them in the beginning, and he's going to take care of them at the end. So we're going to look at that. Let's turn there, Acts 4. And then we're going to look at some signs of what are these tares. But here, it's going to show you another whole way of seeing things with Ananias and Sapphira. Because they were going to poison what God was doing in the earth. In Acts chapter 4, let's look at verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord, and grace was upon them all, great grace. Neither was there any among them that lacked, because they sold their land, they sold their possessions, and then they would distribute it at the apostles' feet, and whoever had need, they'd take care of them. So everybody was taken care of. And Barnabas, he was a Levite, he sold land and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now we talked about counterfeits. Well, Ananias and Sapphira wanted to do the same thing that he did, that Barnabas did. But they got checked. They wanted to lay it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. It didn't say sold all of it. Now, these people were selling everything and giving, and they were doing it with an honest heart. This guy just sold a possession. So sounds to me like he had a lot more. And kept back part of the price. And his wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet, just like the real, true Barnabas did. Now they're doing mimicking, counterfeiting, doing the same thing. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart? To lie to the Holy Ghost? And to keep back part of the price of the land? Then verse 4, he says, thou hast not lied unto men, but you have lied unto God. Verse 5, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all of them that heard these things. And then they carried him out, he died, and then his wife comes in, same thing, 3 hours later, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yea, so much. And Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. And she got buried by and with her husband, and great fear came upon all the church. But as a result of this cleansing, the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were wrought among the people. So they had to get rid of the tares when the whole thing started off. And guess what? At the end, the tares will also be removed by God, it says. And tares, a couple characteristics of them, they're disobedient. Matthew 7, let's look there. This is a very interesting scripture. Matthew 7, 19 through 23. Well, verse 15, beware of the false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're tares. They're wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. In other words, what is their ministry producing? What's happening? You're going to know them. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Greed, fame, lust, covetousness, all these things are bad fruit. And then it says, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 20, you shall know them by their fruits. Now, verse 21 should put the fear of God in all of us. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, the tares, do as thou wilt, basically is their motto. We don't want Christ telling us what to do. We don't want laws. We don't want anything. We want to make up our own rituals. We want to make up our own mandates. We don't want to do the will of the Father. In fact, they even mocked it when I was sitting learning. They were saying, if it be thy will, it's just unbelief. Talk about a mockery. If it be thy will, that's just God knows all that. There's another whole thing. But many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Why do you say prophesied? Because tares love to prophesy. That's one of their favorite things, to tell you what God's saying to you. God said, God said. I always question people when they tell me, God said, God said. He's very confused. Yes. Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and in your name cast out devils and in thy name? So they're doing everything counterfeiting, masquerading as wheat. Haven't we done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Never. Never is a big word. I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity, sin, workers of evil. So first of all, tares are disobedient. Tares, do as thou wilt. Wheat, want to do the Lord's will. Tares are pretenders and fakers. They talk like believers, but they don't act like believers, indicating a continuous action of not acting like believers. We all fall, we all miss it. This is talking about a continuous action that they act totally evil behind the scenes. They might pretend they're good. They might put on great robes. They might put great suits, whatever they're wearing, but what are they really doing behind the scenes? Who are they? Not who they pretend to be. But who are they? Now, tares love lawlessness. They love the spirit of disobedience, and that's going to rise in the end times. It's part of Matthew 24. So they're disobedient. Number two, tares are pretenders. Again, Ananias and Sapphira pretended to do everything else everyone else was doing, but with the wrong motive, wickedness, and intent to deceive, and they got exposed. They were hypocrites, impressing others through deception. They lied and covered up. You shall know them by their fruits. So they're pretenders. They're disobedient. They're very arrogant. Holier than thou. 2 Corinthians 11:14-15. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. The tares have unbelieving hard hearts. They act superior and cold. Humility is a sign of a true believer. We should want correction, but the God of this world wants all men to be mean and arrogant and show who's boss, and now the women are rising up, the same thing. It's like the spirit on them that no man's going to tell me what to do. It's a very tarish, I'll make that word up, tarish attitude. They have hard hearts. Do as thou wilt. God's not going to tell me how to live my life. Tares also have a method of false salvation, false converts. Just say this prayer and you're done. No, he wants us to live, abiding in him. Galatians 1, 8 through 9, if we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel than what we have received, what are they supposed to be? Accursed. Don't receive another gospel. So what's the devil been spreading? His terrorist messages? He's been, come to church. You're just going to be entertained and have fun. It's all about fun. We're dealing with a spiritual battle here. And eternity's at stake. Paul wrote to the church at Galatia that false teachers were infiltrating and preaching one can save himself by his works. So these societies, what do? They do evil behind the scenes and they have to balance it out by doing good things. So you see, they're doing this for the children, doing this and that, all these different societies. If you look them up, they have to do that for balance. So it's not salvation in Christ alone. You're saved by your works. You do good things, you get credit for. Well, they're full of pride. And because they're full of pride, then they can judge. Like the Pharisees, they were very, very judgmental. And then we have tares of false clergymen. False clergymen, they twist scriptures to fulfill their lusts. 2 Peter 2:1. To fill their lusts. Let's read this. This is verse 1. But there were false prophets among my people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Here we go. False teachers amongst the wheat. Privily shall they bring in damnable heresies. What does that mean? Destructive teachings. Teachings that really don't help you draw close to God. Damnable heresies, extremely bad, destructive teachings, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. God will take care of the tares. We cannot. You don't have to associate with them. You can know who they are, mark them and avoid them, but God will take care of them. And many shall follow their pernicious, this is harmful ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. Great persecution coming for the true believer. And through covetousness shall they with feigned or not real words make merchandise of you. That is so sad to see that you've been made merchandise. We've all been made merchandise. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. He let them know this is what's going to happen to the tares. And delivered just Lot, vexed. I did a message on being vexed. We're being vexed today, just even with the conversation of the wicked, of what they're saying and predicting and fear and all this different stuff that's happening. And he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Commercials we're starting to see. I'm just like, stuff you wouldn't even say in private. It's like, really? The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. This is our promise, our hope. God knows how to deliver us out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So, wow. We want to be on God's good side, don't we? We don't want to be a tear. So here, this false salvation, false clergymen, they twist scriptures to fulfill their lusts. Their lusts. How many houses can you have? How many empires can you have? How many of this and that? Behind the scenes, I've seen a lot. Now, tares are never wrong. 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. A true person that's walking with the Lord that wants to be wheat, when we miss it, we blow it. We got to keep a humble heart. repent and turn, but tares don't do that. They don't think they sin. I was listening to some politician said he didn't ever sin. So tares are arrogant and they're never wrong. The heresy being addressed in 1 John was Gnosticism. They believe they have a higher knowledge than Christians. They believe that they're seeking this higher knowledge through the mystery religions and the mystery sacrifices that they do. They're starting to bring them out into the open now. They were underground. But now the new, they call it the new world, is actually the old world of paganism, yep, returning as in the days of Noah. So we want to stay willing and be correctable, be teachable. Someone that's proud doesn't think they have anything to learn from anyone. So they don't listen well. Why do I have to listen to you? I just can't wait to talk because you don't have nothing to say. We learn a lot by listening, especially to old people. They've lived a life. And don't ever lose your respect for your parents if they're older, because listen to their stories. If you've heard them 100 times, let them say it again. Tares are some church leaders. In 3 John 9 through 11, he talks about Diotrephes. He was the head of the church, and he ran the show. And this is what it is. It's a show. Sometimes it's just a business. He was a tare in full bloom. Don't be surprised by all of this. False Christian leaders are narcissistic, controlling, and it's all about them. Yep. Tares. Tares title themselves. Boy, do they love their titles. I wish now I wouldn't have gotten my doctorate, because I was really tempted to just rip it up and burn it on one of these YouTubes. I was like, it's dung. But they title themselves. You know, apostles, bishop, prophetess, all this stuff. In Revelations 2:2, you cannot tolerate evil men, and you test those who call themselves apostles who are not. So if they're not, what are they? They're false apostles. They're tares. They're the workers of iniquity sent in the midst. Tares at Ephesus gave themselves titles of apostles, and today we have many fancy titles, fancy garb to go with it. The hats. Oh my goodness, some of these. And they're really big into the crowns. Just so you know, all the symbolism of crowns. This is part of the showing them, showing who they are. The symbols show you who they really are. The crown is really big. I'd love to go into that. The takeaway principle here of Acts 5 is tares will mimic the wheat as closely as possible. And now some are being exposed. We're seeing people being exposed all over the place that they never really were serving the true gospel, the true Jesus. They were doing something else. And what do tares want? Tares want power. They want money, and they want fame. Yep. They seek control and will bite and injure to maintain power. They don't care who they run over. In Satan's kingdom, he'll use you for a while and get rid of you. Yep. These people think that they're in this great kingdom, that they're going to, you know, evolve into all. When they're done with you, they're done with you. Yep. Satan has no regard for human life. Now, every believer struggles, and we're on a journey for truth. But when these tear traits are continually present, beware. Beware. Why? Because we are in a spiritual battle. We're not in a club. Some people thought, well, if you join this church, you know, this is the club to be in. As the shaking continues, you're going to find out a lot of these churches are going to crumble. By design, because they don't want you to follow Christ, but there's going to be a lot of scandals. Keep your eyes on Jesus. They didn't save you. Jesus did. Yes. Don't be a saint watcher. Be a Jesus watcher. Amen. Tares have a demonic mission of discouraging and shipwrecking your faith in Christ. Sometimes I hear some of these religious leaders come out, and I cannot believe what they're saying. It's like, wow, this is just so obviously it's the new order coming out into play. And Jezebel. It's Jezebel coming against God's anointed. And there's a lot of witchcraft and sorcery. It's even hard to preach the gospel nowadays because of the Jezebel witchcraft and controlling spirits that are always attacking the servants of God. But remember, our struggle is not with flesh and blood. Remember that tares always counterfeit the wheat. It's got to look like wheat. It's a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yes.
As we read the children of God, we also read the children of the wicked one. So God has his family, and Satan has his. Right? And the Antichrist system is to overthrow the Christ system, or the Christ followers. Christ has his church, and Satan has his synagogue. Synagogues. Revelations 2:19. And lastly, I want to close with this. This was an article I found. Shocking facts on tares. And I'm only going to read parts of this. But this pertains to a lot of the movements, I should say, I came out of and repented of. Thinking it was God. Thinking it was the Spirit of God. Think it was the Holy Spirit. Tares are plants that look just like wheat until harvest time, when it turns out that they were counterfeit. We don't think the counterfeit is happening right now. I want to bring you one thing that's happening now. I don't know if it's still happening, but I think so. I don't follow these people anymore. But when you look up the word tares on Wikipedia, it comes back with the equivalent plant named darnel. This is exactly correct according to most biblical authorities. The tares are almost always considered to be the weed darnel, also known as false wheat, to which grows plentiful in the whole region, different places, especially around Israel. And here's what Wikipedia says about it. Tares. It bears a close resemblance to wheat until the ear appears. It parasitizes. In other words, parasites are in the wheat fields. It parasitizes. That's a word, say it five times. Wheat fields. The French word for darnel is I-V-R-A-I-E, which expresses that weeds, listen to this, weeds characteristic of making one feel poisoned with drunkenness and can cause death. This characteristic is known as, in the Latin, drunk. And the plant is mentioned in the parable of the tares in the Gospel of Matthew. So is this identification of tares with drunkenness anywhere else? Think about the moves of the river and how all this drunkenness, you got to be drunk, and that's the new move of God. And boy, I tell you, I sought it with my whole heart. I wanted to be in. I don't want to miss anything God's doing. So here, listen to this, the tares with drunkenness. Is it anywhere else? Yes, many Bible dictionaries and encyclopedias say exactly the same thing, that when mixed with wheat flour, with this other poisonous false wheat, it causes dizziness, intoxication, drunkenness, and paralysis. The bearded darnel is known to cause harm or damage among all the grasses. This is the poisonous one. And on the giant website, botanical.com, we read, it is recorded to have produced all the symptoms of drunkenness, a general trembling, kundalini, followed by an inability to walk, hindered speech, and vomiting. For this reason, the French call darnel drunkenness. Out of all the weed-type grasses, tares are seemingly the only ones that produce this deadly drunken effect. Isn't that amazing? In the parable of the wheat and the tares in Matthew 13, Jesus states that his enemy sows tares amongst the true wheat. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together, first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. What is the possibility of the parallels with today's drunkenness movement? Keep them on the floor, keep them laughing, keep them distracted.
That's right.
Amongst the tares. Yep. So what do? We acknowledge that we've been deceived. We acknowledge that we've been apart. We want to come out, that we see that God isn't in this. So if God's not doing this, who is? Who is deceiving God's people in the name of God under a covering? Tares. That's heavy. That's worth the whole message. Just listen to this last 5 minutes. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for helping us see the difference between wheat and tares and the poisonous wheat and the drunkenness wheat, the false and the true. The enemy would love to deceive us, and he's trying his very best to deceive the body of Christ into bringing in things that mislead and deceive and take us away from the true Christ and bring us into other spirits, kundalini spirits that are not of you. And I just pray that these people would research kundalini on themselves. It starts with a K. That they would research these kundalini things and find out if you're in these movements now, you could be and probably are in the midst of tares. And we pray they come out. Lord, you said, come out from amongst them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. And we want to be received by you. We want to endure to the end. I pray for those that are faint and tired. Lord, give us strength. Thank you for the Holy Spirit to strengthen us day by day, moment by moment. We thank you, Father God. We have a bright eternity, that we are not ignorant of the devil's devices, but we are called to expose them. And so, Father, we thank you for eyes to see and ears to hear. And thank you, Lord, for being with us, empowering us in these end times for whatever might come down the road in the future. And for this, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank everyone that's been giving to us, writing us emails. I can't even express to you. Some of you I've gotten to know by name because of your faithful giving. I just smile. When I'm discouraged, I'll get a note or something that'll keep me knowing someone's listening out there. Because sometimes I don't know. I don't know if I'm being totally shadow banned. And I know we are to some extent, but I know that the Word of God is not bound. So we trust the Lord to get this YouTube to you wherever you are, whatever country you're in. And again, if YouTube does go down, they're controlling more and more what goes on, what the content is. And I'm not sure what their agenda is for the new year. But find us at livinginhispresence.org, our own website, and we'll have things there you can always see. Once a week, I try to deliver a message to you all, and there's times I've just wanted to not do it. I was like, I am so tired, and then I'll get a letter. We watch and look forward to you every week, so I'm like, can't let them down. At least there's somebody listening, yeah. So we want to make sure we're there for you, and some of you are isolated and lonely, and I don't want to leave you. I want to make sure you're there and encouraged, and it's harder and harder. It's like a famine to find the Word of God being preached now, and there's a famine in the land, but God. And I want to encourage you also to, I hear more lockdowns are coming in a different country right now. I won't mention it, but they're saying only 10 people can gather in a house. Again, that some of this stuff might be repeated in your countries. Get a plan B and find people of like-minded spirit. If you can, it's hard, but if you can, and show these videos together. Just if you don't want to preach, just share my messages with you. Maybe talk about them after, answer questions, ask questions, read the Bible together. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. This is a very dangerous time to be alone. Yes. Because if you're alone, just like sheep in a flock. If the enemy can get you by yourself, boom, you're very vulnerable. And we want to make sure we stay encouraged to the end. We do everything we can to fulfill our calling till the end. Standing, having done all to stand in him. And I just encourage you, go through your Bible, read it, start reading it for yourself. So many religions are threatened that you read your Bible. They don't want you to read it. That's why they're putting new translations out, trying to get rid of the old and putting in new words to change the whole meaning. It doesn't take a lot to change the meaning. Just a couple words start changing the meaning of things. So get plan B, get your people, find who they are, and keep in fellowship with one another. Amen. Amen?
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a gift button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.
In the secret place, that's where I want to be. In the secret place.